إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with the discussion or explanation of the essay Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi rahimahullah titled At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajaratul Iman. The clarification and explanation of the tree of Iman, the tree of faith that has been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the parable of Surah Ibrahim, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the parable of a good tree, which is like a good word, and that good word is the word of Iman, the word of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, and its tree, its roots are deep in the earth, and its branches are high in the sky. And it is a tree which gives its fruits in every time, in every season, without interruption. Last week we discussed some of the hadith or ayats from the Quran, which Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi has mentioned as proofs to support the definition that he has given in the first section of his book, Shajaratul Iman, that the definition of Iman, it is not limited to the conviction that is in the heart, or the knowledge or acknowledgement of the existence of Allah, but it also of necessity must include the pronouncement on the tongue or the confession by the tongue and the manifestation of that which is pronounced on the tongue in the actions of the limbs or the body parts, yani acting in accordance with Allah, with what Allah has ordered and what He has prohibited. And from the hadith which we mentioned last week, or from the evidences that he mentioned last week, were the ayahs from Surah Al-Mu'mineen, in which he has mentioned some of the sifat of the believers, which show that the characteristics of the believers include not only conviction or actions of the heart, but also actions of the body parts and speech. And he also mentioned that which proves that there are degrees, levels of excellence or superiority of some of the mu'mineen over others. And he mentioned the verse and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ indicating this, that the believers are of three different levels, those who are the foremost, and those who are moderate in the middle, and those who are wrongdoers to their own selves. Likewise, we discussed last week the ayats in the Quran that appear to some to make a distinction or separation between Iman, the conviction in the heart, and that which is not part of Iman, as they claim, the actions of the body parts. And the Shaykh has explained, and we have mentioned a number of examples from Kitab al-Iman by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which show that these verses, which might appear to some as indicating that Iman is one thing and good deeds are another, that this understanding is incorrect, that indeed righteous deeds or actions are part of Iman. And finally, we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said that there are three characteristics or qualities. Whoever possessed them, they have tasted halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman. And the root of that which entitles, or which it is realized through, the sweetness of iman, it is realized through, the root of it is love of Allah. And the branch of it is loving for the sake of Allah and hating that which is in contradiction to it. From there, we will continue with the next evidence that the Shaykh has mentioned, and this is still from the first section of the book, the Hadd al-Iman, yani the definition of Iman, wa tafsirihi, and its explanation. All of these hadith and these ayats of the Quran, they are dealing with the topic of the definition of Iman and its explanation. So the next evidence that the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi rahimahullah mentions, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ يعني أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الإيمان بدع وسبعون شعبة. And here the Shaykh is mentioning the authentic hadith which is agreed upon, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Al-Iman, it comprised of 60, or in this hadith, in the narration of Al-Bukhari, 70 some odd branches. And in more than 70 are the branches of Iman, and in some of the narrations, or in this narration of Muslim said 70, and the narration of Bukhari said 60. Yani bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba. The point is that the branches, the parts, the component, essential parts of Iman are many. They are many. According to some of the narrations, according to this narration that the Shaykh has mentioned, there are 70 some odd branches. A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adanaha imatatul adha anit tariq wal haya'u shu'batun min al iman. The highest of the branches of Iman, and there are many, the highest of them is the statement or the saying or the declaration of the word of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. This is the highest branch of Iman. The lowest of it is removing something harmful from the road. That is the least of the branches of Iman, that a person removes something harmful from the road that might cause harm or injury to others. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wal hayau shu'batun min al iman, and even modesty, yani the modesty that one experiences in the heart, the action of the heart, modesty, it is also a shu'ba, a branch or a component part of al iman. This is the wording of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, and in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, he said that al-Iman is bid'un wa sittun shu'ba wal haya'u shu'batun min al-Iman, that Iman is 60 some odd branches, and modesty, it is a branch of al-Iman. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah said that this hadith is clear, it doesn't require explanation to see that this hadith indicates that al-Iman includes actions or speech of the tongue and actions of the limbs or the body parts, as well as i'tiqadat, yani conviction, belief in the heart, and the akhlaq, character that is required of the true believers. And then he said, also it includes, and here he has divided all of these things into two divisions, it includes fulfilling the right of Allah and acting well towards the creation. Yani fulfilling the rights of Allah on one side, and also treating well or doing good towards the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is part of Iman. Yani removing something from the road so it would not be harmful to the people, that is part of Iman. That is, yani it is from the way of al-ihsan, or doing good towards the creatures, and announcing and acknowledging and recognizing that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. This is from the rights that belong to Allah. Here the Shaykh said that in this hadith, there has been the joining between the highest branch of Iman and the lowest branch of Iman. The highest branch of Iman, which is its foundation, the asl or the origin, the most important part of Iman, asluhu wa qa'idatuhu, it is the declaration or the acknowledgement of La ilaha illallah, having conviction in one's heart of this statement, and acknowledging that Allah is the deity, the one that deserves to be worshipped, saying such a statement purely for the sake of Allah alone. This is the highest branch or shu'ba of al-Iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has joined between this the highest branch of Iman and the lowest branch of Iman, which is merely removing a bone or a stone or something harmful, a thorn, removing something harmful from the road. Everything that causes harm in the road, removing it is under this title of the lowest branch of Iman, يعني إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الْتَرِيقِ. Then the Shaykh says, if this is a part of Iman, just removing something harmful from the road, then what about what is higher than that? What about an ihsan, doing good? يعني not just removing something harmful, but actually going out to do something good towards the creatures. Then the Shaykh says that Allah knows best, wallahu alam, but perhaps al-haya, it has been mentioned here, modesty, it has been mentioned here because al-haya'u, it is through it that there is life for the heart. Hayatul qalb, the life of the heart, it is through al-haya'u, modesty. Yani if a person doesn't have modesty, then they would not have, their heart would not have, would not be alive. And he said, it is through al-haya that a person avoids or abandons or leaves everything that is disgusting, every evil action. It is avoided because of iman. And likewise, every good character or characteristic, it is realized and it is achieved through al-haya, al-haya. Then the Shaykh said that these branches that have been mentioned in this hadith, they are a collection of the things that have been legislated in the deen, al-zahira wal-batina, yani that which is outwardly seen and that which is inwardly done, which is not seen. In these branches that have been mentioned in this hadith, we find that there's that which is not seen, such as al-haya, and there's that which is seen, such as removing something harmful from the road. And this shows that the branches of iman are that which are seen and that which are not seen. Then the Shaykh alludes to the second part of the definition of al-iman, according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that al-iman, it is conviction in the heart and speech on the tongue and actions of the limbs or the body parts. And most of the scholars of Sunnah said that also as a part of the definition of iman is that iman increases and decreases. And here the Shaykh alludes to this. He said that this hadith all clearly indicates that iman increases and decreases in accordance with the increase of that which is legislated and these branches, the branches of iman. As long as the person increases the manifestation or the enactment or fulfillment of these legislated things in Islam, that which is legislated openly or that which is done inwardly, as long as he has an increase in some of these that are the branches of iman, as long as the person is to the extent that they are described with these branches of iman, to that extent the person will have an increase in iman. If they have more branches, then they would have more of an increase in iman, and if they have less, then they would have less of iman, yani in accordance with the amount of the branches of iman or the extent to which they manifest those branches, their iman would be either increased or decreased or non-existent. Also he says that it is known, it is a known fact that the people differ, the superiority or the excellence, the tafawut of iman, the excellence of some over others. He said this is a known fact that the iman of some excels and is superior to the iman of others. And that is because the actions which are part of iman, whether actions of the heart or speech of the tongue, or the actions of the body parts, fulfilling that which Allah has commanded or avoiding that which He has prohibited, to the extent that a person does more of what is pleasing to Allah, to that extent their iman would be superior to those who do less. Then the Shaykh says, he concludes from this, that whoever claims that they have iman, whoever claims that iman does not increase and does not decrease, then that person has opposed that which we have experienced in our life and that which we experience with our senses, in addition to contradicting the clear text of the Sharia. Then, yani before the next evidence, there is a note of importance from that which has been mentioned by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajj Al-Asqalani rahimahullah in his explanation of this hadith, and Sahih Al-Bukhari in his book Fath Al-Bari. It is mentioned that he has mentioned there the statement of Al-Qadi Iyad rahimahullah, one of the great scholars from the early generation of the Muslims. He said that a group, yani of people, meaning from amongst the scholars, have attempted to enumerate or to collect or to gather these branches of iman by ijtihad. Not by, they didn't find it mentioned. What are the 70 or 60 some odd branches of iman? What are they? The Prophet ﷺ didn't enumerate all of them. So some of the scholars have attempted to enumerate them, to collect and to gather these branches of iman. And he said, yani, it is difficult to rule that yani, they have been able to do so. In any case, the important thing is that whoever is not able to enumerate these branches of iman in detail, it doesn't cause any harm to his iman. It is not necessary that you have to know all 60 or 70 some odd branches. That is not necessary. But the point is that one must know that iman has many branches, and that to the extent that we know them, we should try to act in accordance with them so that we will perfect our iman. Then Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani says that those who have attempted to enumerate the branches of Iman, they have not agreed in the manner in which to collect them or to identify them. However, the closest to being correct, in his opinion, is that which he found from Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah. However, he said, I didn't find the details of what he has mentioned about it. Therefore, I have summarized what has been mentioned in what follows. Yani what they have narrated, yani what he has collected from the earlier scholars and what he has found in the books of Hadith or in the Quran, he now summarized yani what he has found mentioned by the scholars concerning the branches of Iman. And he said that the branches of Iman include the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the tongue and the actions of the limbs or the body parts. And then he begins to enumerate what he has found to be from these three divisions of the branches of Iman. As for the actions of the heart, which include the beliefs or convictions as well as intentions, he said there are 24 characteristics. Yani 24 characteristics of the actions of the heart that are part of Iman. The first of them, he said, is al-Iman billahi, believing in Allah. And included in that is believing in Allah's divine being, His characteristics, and singling Him out, yani distinguishing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from anything else in the creation, since there is nothing like Him, and believing that everything besides Allah is new, yani it has come into existence, while Allah alone is the one that is eternal, without any beginning or ending. The second of them is from the arkan of Iman, believing in the angels, and then after that believing in the scriptures and the messengers, and believing in the good and the evil of Al-Qadr, the divine decree, as well as having Iman in the last day. As far as Al-Iman in the last day, he said, as a part of that is the issue or the questioning in the grave. That is an aspect of believing in the last day, as well as the resurrection and the gathering of the people and the accounting of the people and the weighing of the deeds and the sirat, the crossing of the people over the hellfire for those who would enter the paradise, as well as al-Jannah wa nar. All of these come under the general branch of Iman, that is believing in the last day. Then he said also from the actions of the heart that are branches of Iman are loving Allah, and loving and hating for the sake of Allah, and loving whomever and whatever we love for the sake of Allah, and hating likewise. Also he said loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and honoring him. And as a part of that, honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praying for him, making salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following his sunnah. Also from the actions of the heart is al-ikhlas, sincerity. And part of sincerity, or what is included in it, what is included in this branch of Iman, al-ikhlas, is the avoiding of ar-riya and nifaq. Avoiding of ar-riya, ostentation, doing things to be seen by others, to be praised by others, and al-nifaq, hypocrisy. Yani showing Iman while in the heart there is kufr. Then he said also from the actions of the heart is a tawbah, repentance, and al-khawf, fear, and al-raja, hope, al-shukra, thankfulness, al-wafa, fulfilling one's pledge, sabr, patience, al-rida bil-qada, being pleased with what Allah has decreed. Yani that which Allah has decreed, the afflictions or the harm that comes to one, being pleased with what Allah has decreed. And al-tawakkul, relying on Allah, and al-rahmah, mercy, al-tawadu, humility. And part of humility, he said, is honoring the elderly and having mercy towards the young. The last of the branches of Iman that are from the actions of the heart, he said, it is avoiding pride and being pleased or amazed with oneself, and avoiding envy and hatred for the believers, and avoiding anger. After this, he mentioned from the actions of the tongue, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, he said the actions of the tongue that are branches of Iman, he said there are seven characteristics. That is, expressing the word of Tawheed, recitation of the Quran, teaching, knowledge, and learning, ad-du'a, supplication, ad-dhikr, remembrance, and part of remembrance is al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness, and the last of them, he said, is avoiding al-laghu. Yani those things which are of no benefit, whether it is speech or actions, that which is not of any benefit, and it is of those things that are not praiseworthy. Then Al-Imam Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, he says, from amongst the branches of iman that are from the actions of the body parts or the limbs of the body, he said they are 38 characteristics. And he has divided them into three categories, from amongst particular to the individual, to the person himself, and that which is in relation to his relatives or relations, and that which is general for the general masses of the people. From amongst that which is particular to the individual, he said there are 15. The first of them is at-tathir, purification. Yani internally as well as externally. And part of that is avoiding the things which are unclean. Then he said covering the awrah, the private parts, as well as as-salat, performing the prayers, the obligatory and voluntary prayers, the zakat, obligatory and voluntary, freeing of slaves, al-jawd, generosity, and part of that is feeding, giving food to the people, and honoring one's guests. And then he said there's also as-siyam, the obligatory and voluntary fasting, and hajj and umrah, obligatory and voluntary, at-tawaf, circumambulation, al-i'tikaf, staying in the masjid in i'tikaf, in seclusion, and seeking laylatul qadr. Also he said, from those actions which are particular to an individual is fleeing, yani leaving his land for the sake of saving his deen. And part of that, it is al-hijra, immigration from the land of shirk and kufr. Then he said, the last of those which are particular to the individual is fulfilling one's oath, if they make an oath or a vow, and fulfilling one's, yani fulfilling vows and fulfilling oaths, if one makes them. Then he said, fulfilling or performing the kafarat, expiations, or that which anyone has to make up for some error or mistake that they have fallen into. As for the actions of the body parts that are related to one's relations, he said, it is being pure in marriage, yani avoiding that which is prohibited, fulfilling the rights of one's dependents, being good to one's parents, and that also includes avoiding disobeying parents. Also giving, yani raising properly one's children, keeping good relations with relatives, obeying the leaders in the society, and being kind and easy to the slaves. Finally, he said, the actions of the body parts or the limbs that are general, he said there are 17, from amongst them is fulfilling the rights of authority with justice. If one is the emir or the leader or has authority over the people, fulfilling the rights of that position justly. Also sticking to the jama'ah, to the group of Muslims, not separating. Obedience to those in authority. Making, reconciling between the people when they have differences, and part of this means fighting against those who oppose the legitimate rulers. Then he said, cooperating in that which is righteousness, and part of that is commanding the good and forbidding the wrong. Fulfilling or yani implementing the hudud, the legal punishments of the sharia, al-jihad in the way of Allah. And part of that is guarding the outposts, al-murabata. Then he said, fulfilling the amana, yani when anyone is given a trust, fulfilling it, being honest with it, and being trustworthy. And part of that is delivering the khumus, the spoils of war, from whoever has collected it before the imam of the Muslims distributes it, yani turning it into the leader. Also, offering loans and repaying loans, if one has taken it, honoring one's neighbor, having good relations in one's transactions and dealing with the people, and this includes collecting one's wealth from that which is lawful. Likewise, spending one's wealth in the rightful way, yani in that way, in that place where it belongs. And from this is avoiding waste and extravagance. Then he said, also included, yani from these things are returning salams, praying for the sneezing person when they praise Allah, avoiding harming the people, and avoiding yani senseless and useless behavior, and removing things which are harmful from the road. Then Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah said that these are 69 characteristics. 69. And it is possible that we might enumerate them as 79. Consider some of those things which have been joined together as separate items. Then they would come to 79. He said, Wallahu a'lam. This is what he has said in Fathul Bari, in the first volume under this hadith that we have just discussed. After this, Al-Imam Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions the second evidence from what we will mention this evening, and it is the 12th evidence that he has mentioned in this section of the definition of Iman and its clarification. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned al-Islam and al-Iman in the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, where he was asked by Jibreel in the presence of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, he has asked about al-Iman. In that hadith it is known that Jibreel alayhi salam asked about Islam. What is Islam and what is Iman and what is Ihsan? The Shaykh mentions the part of hadith that deals with Iman. He said that he asked about Iman and he said, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ. And in the narration of this hadith, the wording is slightly different, but the meaning is basically the same. In that hadith he said, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. In any case, the meaning is the same, except the wording is slightly different. That when the Prophet ﷺ answered or explained what is Iman, he said it is to believe in Allah and His angels and His revelations and His messengers in the last day and the good and the evil of Al-Qadr, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. He said, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah said that Al-Islam, it has been explained in this hadith, in the part that he didn't mention, in that hadith, yani it is mentioned that he said to the Prophet ﷺ, inform me about Al-Islam, and he ﷺ said that Islam is to testify that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah, to perform the prayers and to pay the zakat and to fast in Ramadan and to perform hajj to the bayt, yani to the Kaaba, for whoever is able to find a way to it. The Shaykh says that in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has explained Islam as being the five obligatory duties that we see openly. يعني شرائع الخمس الظاهرة, those things which are seen. He explained Islam as being those things. Then he says, and this is because, as we have mentioned previously, when Al-Iman is mentioned along with other than it, يعني when it is mentioned along with Islam, والأعمال الصالحة, righteous deeds, he said when Al-Iman is mentioned with other than it, then Iman is defined as being those religious beliefs or tenets or convictions that are held in the heart, and Al-Islam or righteous deeds are defined as being the outward legal duties that a Muslim is required to perform. However, whenever Al-Iman is mentioned mutlaqan, undefined and unrestricted in the absolute sense, then it includes all of what has been mentioned above. It includes that which has been defined as Islam and that which has been defined as Al-Iman. Yani the point here is that, as the scholars of the Sunnah said, that Al-Islam and Iman are two words, that when they are joined together, when they are mentioned at one time, each has a specific meaning. Al-Iman means the convictions in the heart, and Al-Islam means the outward actions. However, if they are used separately, then each of them has the meaning of the other. Yani Islam, if it is mentioned alone, it also includes Iman. There's no one who is a Muslim unless he has Iman. He cannot be a Muslim without Iman. And there's no mu'min unless he has Islam. So these two words are interchangeable when they are used individually. But when they come together, then each has a specific meaning. So here the Shaykh has made it clear, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and Kitab al-Iman has explained previously, that these two words, they have particular definitions when they are used together, and they include one another when they are used separately. After this, the Shaykh mentions also another evidence, the third of the evidences this evening. It is that which is reported in al-Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Anas, that is Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَالِدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he is making it clear that Iman is not the same for all. That there are degrees of Iman, there is perfection of Iman, and there is that which is less than that. He said that no one of you will believe. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. And the meaning, as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajr al-Asqalani and other scholars have mentioned, that the negation of Iman here, it means the negation of the perfection of Iman, kamal al-Iman. Doesn't mean you don't have Iman. Yani if somebody doesn't have this characteristic, خلاص, they are kafir. It doesn't mean that. It means that if you don't have some of the characteristics of Iman, then your Iman will not be perfect. It will be naqis, it will be defective, to the extent that you are missing the characteristics of Iman. To that extent, that somebody is missing some of the characteristics of Iman, the Iman will be lessened. And the one who has those characteristics, the Iman will be increased. Therefore there's tafawut. There's any excellence and superiority of some over others in the matter of Iman, even though both of them have Iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that no one of you will believe, meaning no one of you will have perfect Iman. In some of the hadith it said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ عَبْدٌ, and some of them said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ رَجُلٌ, and in this narration it said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ, and the meaning of all of them is the same, that no one of you will have perfect Iman until I am more beloved to him, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, until he is more beloved to any one of us than his parents and his children and all of mankind. In some of the narrations of this hadith, the scholars have mentioned that when the Prophet ﷺ made this statement to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, you are more beloved to me than everything. Illa nafsi. Except myself. Except myself. Myself is more beloved to me even than you. The Prophet ﷺ told him, even yourself. Yani, it's not sufficient unless also I am more beloved to you than your, than Umar. Immediately, without hesitation, he said, yeah, and myself also. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-an ya Umar. Now you have perfected your Iman. That means that the Prophet ﷺ, the love of the Prophet has precedence over everything and everyone. Our parents and our children, and who is more beloved than our parents and our children? And all of mankind, even our own selves. Even our own selves. The perfection of Iman, it is in loving the Prophet ﷺ more than everything else, even our own selves. Because the love of the Prophet ﷺ, it is the root, or it is rooted in, or branched out from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. Therefore, who can we love more than the Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved to Allah, Rabbul Alameen. The Shaykh, he says here, that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that if there is a conflict between two things that are loved, then precedence should be given to that which is loved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that case, a person's iman would be true. Otherwise, if they don't give preference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which he prefers and that which he loves and that which he has guided to and that which he has legislated, then that iman is naqis. It is defective. It is not nullified, but it is defective. It doesn't mean a person goes out of Islam if they don't love the Prophet ﷺ more. But it means the Iman is defective. It is not correct, complete and perfect. And this is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجْرَ بَيْنُهُمْ ثَمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by Himself. No, but by your Lord, they will not believe. Yani, they will not have perfect Iman until they make you the judge in all disputes that is between them. And then they don't find any hesitation in that have ruled. They accept it. And they submit to it with full submission. Here the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn that the people will not have perfect Iman until they make His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the one to rule and to judge in disputes between them, and then nothing should remain in their heart, any resistance or difficulty. Yani, they don't have any difficulty with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ruled, and then they comply and they submit and they surrender completely to the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said this includes the rulings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in usuluddin wa furu'i. In the usul of the deen, meaning in the aqeedah. Not only in the actions of prayer and fasting, but in the aqeedah, the usul of the deen, whatever the Prophet ﷺ have ruled, we must accept it and submit to it. As well as in the furu, the branches of fiqh, legal rulings. He said, it is also including the ahkam al-kulliyah wal-ahkam al-juz'iyah, and perhaps he means by this al-ahkam al-kulliyah, mean the fundamental principles, that are general, comprehensive principles that the Prophet ﷺ have explained to us, as well as the specific detailed laws related to all the matters of life. This is what the Shaykh has said concerning this hadith. And there is a note from Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, one of the great scholars from Qurtuba in Spain during the time of the rule of the Muslims. And he died in the year 656. in the middle of the 7th century of Hijrah. And this Imam Qurtubi was a great scholar of fiqh and hadith. And he is not the Imam al-Qurtubi that is famous for the book of Tafsir. He is, yani, before that Shaykh, that Imam Qurtubi. And he has written a very important book, an explanation of the Sahih of Muslim. And in his explanation of Sahih Muslim related to this hadith, he said that the types of mahabba are three. Here the Prophet ﷺ talked about love, al-mahabba, loving him more than one's parents or one's children or all of mankind. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said in this hadith, even though it is brief, it includes the mention of the three types of mahabba. Yani the types of mahabba are three. He said the first of them is mahabba to ijlal wal-i'azam. Yani the love that is respect and honor. And that is like the love that one has for one's parents or for the scholars or for the honored people in the society. The second of them is mahabba to rahma wa ishfaq. Yani the love that is the love of mercy and compassion, like the love that one has for one's children. And the third is mahabba to mashaqila. That is the love that is for others that are similar to oneself, not those who are above you, like your parents, or those who are below you that you have sympathy for, like your children, but those who are equal to you. And these three types of mahabba indicated in the hadith, in the clear words of the Prophet ﷺ, the mention of loving him more than one's parents, which is the love of, yani the love of ijlal, yani honor and respect, and more than one's children, which is the love of rahmah and ishfaq, that is the love of mercy, and the love of, yani, wannasi ajmain, the love of the rest of the people. So these are three types of love, those who are honored, and those who one has mercy for, and the rest come in masses of the people. Then Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says that indeed the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to have superiority and precedence over every other love, over the love of one's parents or one's children or the rest of humanity. And that, he said, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the perfection over the rest of his type, jinsihi, yani the rest of humanity. He is more perfect than the rest of humanity. وَفَضَّلَهُ عَلَى سَعْرِ نَعِهِ. And he has also given him preference over the rest of those of his specific type, meaning the prophets and messengers. And this is because of the inward and outward beautiful and good characteristics which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the natural disposition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is because of the favor that Allah has given to him in that and those al-akhlaq al-hasana, good character and good morals, wal-manaqib al-jamila, and virtuous qualities. In this way, the Prophet ﷺ is more perfect than anyone who has walked on the earth. He said he is more perfect than the one who has ridden and the one who has walked, meaning anyone, those who ride and those who walk, all of humanity and every type of creature. And he is the most honored of those who would appear on Yawmul Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the highest in station, in the stations of Dar al-Karama, that is in Jannah. That is the end of the statement of Al-Qurtubi. Then Al-Imam Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions the fourth evidence that we will mention this evening, and it is the 14th evidence that he has mentioned concerning the definition and explanation of Al-Iman. All of these hadith or these ayats clarify the definition that he has given, that iman is not only conviction in the heart, but it is also what is pronounced on the tongue and the actions of the limbs, and that it increases and decreases. The point here is that he is mentioning the hadith which show the truth of this definition, the definition of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ أَيْضًا عَنْ أَنَسٍ مَرْفُوعًا لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Also it is reported in the Sahihin al-Bukhari and Muslim from Anas radiallahu anhu, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that no one of you would believe, yani have perfect iman. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Yani no one will have perfect iman. Doesn't mean you will not have iman. But if you don't love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself, then your iman will be defective to the extent that this characteristic of iman is absent. It is from the sifat of iman. It is from the characteristics of iman, or the component parts of iman, or the branches of iman. Therefore, whoever doesn't have it, then to that extent their iman would be decreased, or it would be, they would have fallen short. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one of you will have perfect iman, complete iman, until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Yani what you love for yourself, you should also love for your brother. In some of the narrations of the hadith, as has been mentioned by a number of scholars, from amongst them Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, mentioned that some of the narrations of this hadith, as it is reported by al-Imam al-Nasa'i and Ahmed and Abu Ya'la and Ibn Hibban, with an authentic chain of narration, he said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِيَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Yani, you will not have perfect iman until you love for your brother what you love for yourself of good. Not if you love evil for yourself, you love to do haram, that you love your brother also to do haram. But what you love for yourself of khair, iman is in loving for that khair to be also for your brother, your believing brother or sister. In some of the narrations it also mentioned, يعني حتى, in the narration, in the nuskha of Al-Ismaili for Sahih Al-Bukhari, he has narrated this hadith, حتى يحب لأخيه المسلم ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. يعني until you love for your brother Muslim, until you love for your brother Muslim what you love for yourself of khair. Yani this, in this narration it indicates that it means your brother in Islam. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. Yani the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. When the Prophet ﷺ says your brother, it is clear he means your Muslim brother. Because the Muslim, the brotherhood that is recognized by Islam, is the brotherhood that is based on Islam and Iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. That brotherhood, it is based on Iman. Verily the believers, they are brothers to one another. Here the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says that this hadith, yani that you will not have perfect Iman until you love for your brother what you love for yourself, this requires or necessitates that you fulfill the rights of your Muslim brothers. That which is personal and that which is general. Yani their personal rights as well as general rights of brotherhood. There are rights that are general for all of the Muslim, other that are specific and particular and personal, until you fulfill them. Whatever rights the Muslims have over you, whether it is specific or personal or whether it is general. He said, you will not have perfect iman until you fulfill the rights of your brothers, particular and general, for indeed doing so is part of iman. Whoever doesn't do so, and whoever doesn't love for his brother what he loves for himself, then that person, he will not be a believer who has al-iman al-wajib. Al-iman al-wajib. Yani al-iman al-wajib, it means the iman that is required, of necessity, that a person must have. So that means that iman al-wajib, it will be defective in that person if he doesn't fulfill the rights of his brother, and if he doesn't love for his brother what he loves for himself. Indeed, his iman will be imperfect to the extent that he has failed to perform some of the obligatory rights of his brother in Islam. Here, again, there are notes concerning this hadith that are from the books explaining this hadith. From amongst that is what is mentioned by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari. He says that Al-Qarmani, one of the earlier scholars before Al-Hafidh, he said that also from iman is hating for your brother what you hate for yourself of evil. Yani part of iman is also that you hate for your brother what you hate for yourself of evil. If you don't like harm to come to you, then you should also hate that it befalls your brother. That is also a part of iman. He said that this, here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has not mentioned this. Because loving something requires hating the opposite of it. And it is understood automatically. So avoiding, yani the failure to mention this aspect, that part of iman is also hating for your brother the evil that you hate for yourself, it is because it is sufficient. It is understood without being mentioned. Wallahu a'lam. Likewise, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah has mentioned in Silsila Sahih hadith, he mentioned that the wording in some of the narrations is that you love for your brother what you love for yourself of khair. And he said that this additional wording, it is very important because it explains what is intended in this hadith in more detail. Loving for your brother what you love for yourself, meaning loving the khair. And this word al-khair, he said, it is a comprehensive word that includes at-ta'at, obedience, wal-mubahat, the permissible things of this world or of the next life, and it does not include al-manhiyat, the prohibited things, because the word khair, does not include the prohibited things. Here also Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani mentioned that the wording لا يؤمن, that you do not believe, he said this is in reference to the one who claims iman, that he will not have complete iman. He said here the negation of iman for that person, it is the negation of the perfection of iman. For indeed the negation of something, taking the meaning that it means the negation of the perfection of that thing, is very common in the Arabic language. And he gives some examples of such. And then he said that here, لا يؤمن, that you will not believe, it is mentioned in the way of al-mubalagha, yani exaggeration. Not that there's absolutely no iman, but it is an expression used for exaggeration in order to make the person understand the seriousness of to be characterized by this characteristic. And then he says that in another narration it is mentioned that that which is reported by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, he mentioned لَا يَبْلُغُ عَبْدٌ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, that one would not reach or achieve the reality of iman. He said this explains the previous narration that it means al-haqiqa, it means the perfection of iman. And that is of necessity. Otherwise, if that is not the meaning, then whoever doesn't have this characteristic, then we would have to declare that person to be a kafir. And that is not so. He said only with this understanding, the using of this hadith by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, the use of this hadith as a proof for the fact that iman has branches, and that from the branches of al-iman is loving for your brother what you love for yourself. It is only when we understand it in this way that this point that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has made will become clear. Al-Imam Bukhari, when he mentioned this hadith, he has entitled the chapter in the Sahih Al-Bukhari, in which he included this hadith, he entitled it مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, that it is from iman that one loves for his brother what one loves for himself. So Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he used this hadith as a proof that loving for one's brother what one loves for himself, it is a part of iman. It is an aspect of iman. And this is also a proof of tafawut, yani the excellence or the superiority of some over others, in that whoever doesn't have this characteristic, then their iman would be less than the one who has it. How much time for that then? 10 minutes? The next hadith, we will try to quickly complete it. The next hadith, it is the fifth hadith that we will mention this evening. And it is also an indication of tafawut, or the excellence or superiority of iman amongst the believers. And this hadith is the hadith that the Shaykh mentions from the Sahih of Muslim, from the hadith of Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا. Yani that a person has tasted the flavor, the ta'am of iman, if they are pleased with Allah as their Lord, and with Islam as their deen, and with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as their prophet. That person, he said, ذاق طعم الإيمان. That person has tasted the flavor of iman. As some of the scholars said, it means that person's iman is sahih. صح إيمانه. Yani his iman is sahih, it is correct. If he is pleased with Allah as his Lord, and with Islam as his deen, and with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as his prophet. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, الرِّضَى, being pleased with this, yani with Allah as your Lord and Islam as your deen, he said it necessitates that a person be overjoyed, that they be happy and pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Rabb, yani the rububiyyah of Allah, that Allah is the Lord over us, who controls our affairs, who looks after us and decides our matters. He said that being pleased with Allah as Lord, it means that you are pleased with the way Allah governs our affairs. Yani the perfection with which He governs the affairs and that which He has ruled and legislated. And being pleased with Islam as deen, and being pleased with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or in praising Allah for this ni'mah, he said. Yani being pleased with Allah as Lord, and being pleased with Islam as deen, and a person having joy and happiness with such, and praising Allah for this great ni'mah, the ni'mah of Islam, and the ni'mah of the rububiyyah of Allah. And this is the greatest of the bounties, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, He is pleased with Islam as our deen. And He is the one who has given us the success to enter into this deen. And He is the one who has chosen for us al-Islam as our deen. And this is as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. That today I have perfected for you your Islam. Today I have perfected for you your deen and completed my favor upon you and chosen for you Islam as your deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is pleased with Islam as our deen. How can we not be likewise pleased with it? He said also being pleased with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Prophet, since He is the most perfect of the creatures, and He is the highest of them in every characteristic of perfection. And His ummah and His followers are the most perfect of the nations, and the highest of them, and have the highest degree in this world as well as in the next life. Being pleased, having rida with the prophethood of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his messengership, and following him, this is of the greatest of things which bring forth the fruits of iman and enables one to taste al-iman, yani being pleased with the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being pleased with following him. It is of the greatest of the things that bring forth the fruits of iman and enable one to taste the sweetness of al-iman. Then the Shaykh mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran chapter 3 verse 164, لَقَدَ مِنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْدَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبَلُوا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. That indeed Allah has favored you. Allah has favored the believers, the mu'mineen. He has favored the mu'mineen, those who have iman, when He has raised up from amongst them a messenger from their own selves, reciting to them His ayat and purifying them, yani from kufr and shirk and sin, and teaching them the book and the wisdom, the Quran and the sunnah, even though before that they were in clear error, dalal and mubeen, clear error. There was no doubt about their error. Indeed, that is the greatest favor of Allah, that He has sent a messenger to bring us out of darkness into light. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 128, لَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That indeed there has come to you a messenger from among your own selves, and it grieves him to see any harm or difficulty or injury coming to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has compassion for the believers. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Whatever is hard or difficult to the believers, it grieves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is anxious over you. يعني that you be guided to the right way and that you be saved from the hellfire and enter into the paradise. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. And he is kind and merciful to the mu'mineen. How can you not be pleased? How can a believer, a mu'min, not be pleased with this noble Prophet? Ar-Rasul al-Kareem, Ar-Ra'uf al-Rahim, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has swore that he is ala khuluqin azim, that he has the greatest character, and he is in the highest standard of character, and he has the most honored place, or the most honored place for the slave, for any person, it is that they be connected to, or they be described with, the servitude to Allah, and following His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loving him and following him. And this is the sign, loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following him, following his example and obeying him, ittiba'ur rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said this is the sign of the true mahabbatullah, the sign of love of Allah. And it is through following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one can realize or achieve al-mahabba wal iman. Then the Shaykh closes with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, the Christian delegation from Najran, who came to debate with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That if you really love Allah, then follow me. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ, say to them, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Following the Messenger of Allah is the way to show true love of Allah. He said, if you do so, then Allah will love you, and Allah will forgive you your sins, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. And then Al-Imam, Al-Shaykh, Al-Qadi, Iyad, in his explanation of this hadith, said the meaning of this hadith, يعني, ذاق طعم الإيمان, that the person would taste the flavor of Iman, he said, صح إيمانه, that it means that his Iman will be correct, and that his heart will be tranquil, and that the Iman will mix in his inner being, and that is because being pleased with the Prophet ﷺ, and being pleased with this deen, and being pleased with Allah as his Lord, as one's Lord, he said, this is an indication of the confirmation that one knows Allah and knows the deen and knows Iman. And then he said, because the person who is pleased with something, it becomes easy for that one. In this way, the believer, if Iman enters his heart, then obedience to Allah and obedience to the Messenger of Allah becomes easy for that one. And in that way, that person tastes the sweetness of Iman. Yani, if somebody is truly pleased with Allah and pleased with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they love Allah as their Lord, then it will be easy for them to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger of Allah, and in that case they will taste the sweetness of Iman. And finally, some of the scholars said in the sharh of this hadith, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said that ar-rida, pleasure, being pleased with Allah, it is of two types. It is, the first type is rida am, general, and that is that a person doesn't take anyone Allah as their Lord. That is being pleased with Allah as your Lord. That is the least, that is general rida. Yani ar-rida al-am, it is that a person doesn't accept anyone as their Lord other than Allah. And that they don't accept anyone as their Prophet other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they don't accept anyone or anything as their deen other than the deen of Islam. And he said that this type of rida, no Muslim is without it. Because his Islam would not be correct if he accepted anything except Islam as a deen. Is that the adhan? Can you just open the window? Inshallah, we will just stop here and complete this point and take the questions. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu rasulillah. Yani, the last point is in reference to ar-rida. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he said that rida is of two types. Rida am, and that is that a person is pleased with Allah as their Lord. They don't take anything else as their Lord besides Allah. And the other type is ar-rida al-khas. And that is, which is above the common rida. It is that a person is pleased with Allah. Ar-rida bihi wa rida anhu. They are pleased with Allah as their Lord. And they are pleased with what Allah has executed or decreed or legislated in their life. Yani, being pleased with Allah as Lord, they are pleased that Allah is their Lord and they don't accept anything besides Him. And then they are also pleased with whatever Allah executes in their life. And these are two different things, because a person may be pleased with Allah as their Lord, but when some affliction befalls them, they are not pleased with it. And Allah is the one who has decreed it. Therefore, this is a higher level. Being pleased with Allah as Lord is one thing. And then being pleased with whatever happens in one's life that Allah has decreed for them, that is another thing. And some of the scholars have said that the levels of the qadr and qada, or the levels of being, of accepting it, there are three. As Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen said in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, he said the first and the minimum is that a person is patient, sabir, with whatever befalls them, with whatever Allah has decreed with them. They should at least be patient and not become dissatisfied with Allah, but they have to be patient. The higher level is ar-rida, being pleased with what Allah has decreed. Even if some calamity befalls them, they are not only patient, but they are actually pleased with it, because they know that if Allah decreed it for them, it is good for them. It will either be a means of wiping away their sins or raising their excellence in paradise, or giving them some greater reward that Allah wants for them. Therefore, they are pleased with it. And the Shaykh said that a higher level than that is that they are not only pleased with it, but they are thankful, shakir, they thank Allah when some calamity befalls them. And this is the level that few can achieve. This is the end of what we wanted to present this evening. Quickly, just to look at the questions. The first question, how many shu'ab or branches does Al-Imam have? Iman have, and mention the highest and lowest of them. Al-Iman, it has 60 or 70 some odd branches. The highest of it is the statement of La ilaha illallah, and the lowest of it is removing something harmful from the road. Question number two, how hadith is a proof that Al-Iman includes the actions of the heart, tongue and body parts? Yani this hadith is a proof in that Al-Haya has been mentioned here. Al-Haya, it is from the actions of the heart, just as love and hope and fear are actions of the heart. And the proof in this hadith that Iman, that there is also, that Iman includes the speech of the tongue, is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that the highest part of Iman is the statement or the saying of La ilaha illallah. And the proof that Iman also includes the actions of the body parts is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that removing something harmful from the road, which is an action of the limbs, that this is also a branch, Shu'bah of Iman. Question number three, how does this hadith indicate tafawut, different levels of the people's Iman? And when we know that speech and actions of the body parts, that they are also branches of Iman, and that this speech or these actions may increase and decrease, then one's Iman also will increase and decrease in accordance with the increase of their righteous actions or the good words that they say, yani on their tongue, that is a part of Iman. Or to the extent that a person is described with these different branches of Iman or the absence of it. So in this way, there's increase or there's decrease in Iman, and therefore there's excellence or superiority of some over others in accordance with the speech or the actions, or even the actions of the body parts as well as the actions of the heart. Question number four, mention a few of the actions of the heart, amal al-qalb. Yani from the amal al-qalb, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajr al-Asqalani has mentioned the arkan of Iman, believing in Allah and the angels and the prophets and so on. And likewise he has mentioned loving Allah, and loving and hating for the sake of Allah, and loving the Prophet ﷺ and honoring him, and al-ikhlas, sincerity, and al-tawbah, repentance and thankfulness and patience, and being pleased with what Allah has decreed, and relying on Allah alone, al-tawakkul. Number five, mention a few of the amal al-lisan, or the actions of the tongue. From amongst what he has mentioned is pronouncement of the word, of recitation of Quran, al-du'a wa dhikr, al-istighfar, teaching and learning, and so on. Number six, mention a few of the amal al-badan, the actions of the limbs or the body parts, purification of the body, covering the private parts, prayer and zakat, and the pillars of Islam, siyam and hajj, and so on, al-i'tikaf in the masjid, fulfilling the rights of one's dependents, being good to parents, keeping ties of relations, obeying those in authority, rectifying or reconciliating between the people who have differences, and so on. Question number seven, how can we reconcile the difference, or reconcile the definition of Iman according to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah with the Prophet ﷺ definition of Iman in the hadith of Jibril? And in the hadith of Jibril, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned both al-Islam wal-Iman and Ihsan, and he has explained al-Islam in that hadith to be the five pillars of Islam, the outward actions of the human being, while he has explained al-Iman to be the convictions or the beliefs that are in the heart. So what we understand this is that whenever al-Iman is joined with al-Islam, then al-Iman will be explained as the beliefs or convictions in the heart, while al-Islam will be explained as the outward actions or duties. However, if either of them are mentioned separately, then they include the other. Question number eight, what is the dalil? In that way, yani al-Iman includes al-Islam. It includes the actions or the duties, as well as the commendable things that the Sharia recommends. Question number eight, what is the dalil or evidence that muhabba, or love of the Prophet ﷺ, has priority over the love of everyone else, even oneself? It is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that no one of you will have perfect Iman until I am more beloved to him than his parents and his children and the whole of mankind. Question number nine, what are the three types of mahabba or love mentioned by Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah from the hadith? None of you will have perfect Iman until he loves me more than his parents. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi said that the three types of love in this hadith are mahabba al-lal, yani the love of those whom one honors, like one's parents or the scholars. And the second of them is mahabba al-rahma or ishfaq, the love of mercy and compassion, like the love that one has for one's children or the poor or those who are unable to attend to themselves. And the third is mahabbatu mashakila, yani the love of those who are similar to oneself, not those who are to be honored or those who are one has compassion for, but the rest of humanity. And these three types of love are indicated in the actual wording of the hadith. Yani loving the Prophet ﷺ more than one's parents is the first type of love. More than one's children is the second type, and the rest of humanity. Question number 10, what is the meaning of none of you will have iman? Should be until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. The negation here of iman, none of you will have iman, as Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani said, that the intended meaning here of this negation is the negation of kamal al-iman, the perfection of iman. That this expression here is used in the way of mubalagha or exaggeration, and its meaning is not that whoever doesn't have this characteristic, that person is a kafir. But it only indicates that iman, the perfection of iman, is something that is achieved through this. Those who achieve it will have a higher level, and those who don't achieve it will have a lower level. And this is also an indication of tafawut, or excellence or superiority in iman of some over others. The last question. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has used this hadith as a proof in which issue of iman. Yani Al-Imam Bukhari has used this hadith as a proof. The issue of yani that this, the love for one's brother, loving for one's brother what one loves for oneself, that this is a part of iman, that iman has branches, and from the branches of iman are such things as loving for one's brother what one loves for oneself, as he has indicated in his chapter heading for this hadith, in which he said that a part of iman is loving for one's brother what one loves for oneself. Question number 12, the types of rida mentioned by Al-Qurtubi, the first of them is ar-rida al-aam, that is, that every Muslim has. They will only be pleased with Allah as their Lord, and they will not accept anything else as a Lord. While the second type is ar-rida al-khas, and that is being pleased with Allah as the Lord, as the mudabbir, the one who controls our affairs. We are pleased that Allah is the one who is controlling our affairs, and also being pleased with whatever Allah has decreed, even the calamities or difficulties or hardships that we fall into, which is due to the decree of Allah. We are also pleased with that. And this is the end of what we wanted to mention. If there's any question or comment or correction, perhaps we will take a minute or two. The sisters, now, how much time before the Iqamah? 5 minutes? So we'll take one question from the brothers and one question from the sisters if they have a question now. Now, hold on the phone. Is it any that the definition in the hadith Jibril is the technical meaning and the other one is the linguistic meaning? Well, in fact, the definition of iman that is given in the hadith of Jibril is one of the definitions that the Prophet ﷺ has given. It is the technical definition. And likewise, he has given other technical definitions. When he asked the people, do you know what is iman billah? And he said, iman, they said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, iman in Allah alone, it means testifying that nothing has a right to be worshipped except Allah alone. And it also means performing the prayers and the zakat and the siyam and giving the khumus. In that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that iman is not only the pillars of iman, but it is also the pillars of Islam. And both of them are technical definitions. Therefore, the technical definition of iman, it includes both. The technical definition, when iman is mentioned alone, that it includes all of this. What is normally considered as iman and Islam. And if it is mentioned together with Islam, we understand it as in this hadith, that it is limited to the pillars of faith or the things of the heart. Otherwise, the original definition of iman in the Sharia is that it includes everything of the deen. Yani the things, the outward as well as the inner aspects of the things that Allah has ordered. Wallahu a'lam. Sisters have a question? Now. No, just one, because it's almost time for the Iqamah. Now, what's the other question? What can we do? What do you mean? Right, that's the same question. Sister asked the question, how can we show our love for the Prophet ﷺ and what can we do? Showing our love for the Prophet ﷺ is in what we do. It is in following the Prophet. in obeying His commands and following His instructions and honoring Him and praying for Him. It is in following His example in our life, whether it is in what we believe or in the way that we act, in our ibadah, in our akhlaq, our character and our manners. This is the way that we show love for the Prophet ﷺ, as is mentioned in the Quran, in the ayat in Surah Al Imran, that if you really love Allah, then follow me. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni. Yani the sign of love of Allah is following the Prophet. And the sign of love of the Prophet is following him. It is the same. Following him and honoring him. Wallahu alam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.